Hello, I'm Chris Basden, an editor with AICPA's Journal of Accountancy. You're listening to the JFA podcast, where we talk about the key issues facing the accounting profession. Obviously, the big news in accounting right now involves tax reform. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about the new tax law and how it will impact individual taxpayers. But before we get started, please take a few seconds to listen to a short message from our sponsor.
Did you know 75% of people now prefer to pay by credit or debit? With CPA Charge, you can let your clients pay their bill online and you'll get the reporting details you need for easy reconciliation. AICPA members can sign up at cpacharge.com/podcast and get your program fee waived for 6 months.
I'm excited to have two expert tax law guests with me on today's podcast. The first is Alistair Nevius, who's the editor-in-chief of the Tax Advisor. I also would like to welcome Amy Wang, a CPA who's a senior technical manager for tax advocacy at the AICPA. Amy, I know Alistair has a lot of questions for you, but I'd like to start off with this one. When will the new tax laws changes take effect?
Chris, that is a wonderful question. And the long answer is that a lot of the technical things won't take into effect until after 2019, when we're filing our 2018 tax returns. However, it depends on an individual by individual basis, whether you need to tax plan right now, make estimated payments throughout 2018, and everyone's different situations. However, one thing that will affect most people immediately in 2018 is that before the end of February, most people will see their paychecks look a little different. And that's because their tax withholding on their paychecks should reflect the new tax law changes. IRS has asked that employers make these withholding changes by February 15th. And they have said that many employees will begin to see their take-home pay increase in February, depending on how quickly their employers implement the new rules and whether they're paid weekly, biweekly, or monthly.
Hi, Amy. As you mentioned, the reason for the new withholding is the new tax rates. How much does the new law reduce tax rates for most individuals?
Yeah, so that's the question that everyone wants to know the answers to. So the top rate is reduced from 39.6% down to 37%. And what that generally shows us is that similar reductions will see similar reductions in the lower tax brackets as well. One thing to know is that IRS is preparing to come out with a withholding calculator on their webpage. We're waiting for that release, but they've said that, you know, it'll come out sometime soon, and we'll be able to take our paychecks and compare it on that IRS calculator and check our numbers to avoid any over or underpayments of our taxes. And some of the things that you'll be able to enter on that calculator is, for example, your wage, your marital status, and the number of withholdings that you have for allowances and dependents. And the new tables will also incorporate the new standard deduction, repeal of personal exemptions, and changes in your tax rates and the brackets. So generally, most people should see a reduction, but really depends on everyone's different situation.
All right, that sounds good. Now, you mentioned the new standard deduction, which has almost doubled under the new law. What impact will that have on families?
Yeah, so the standard deduction is mostly doubled. So for married filing jointly, it's increased to $24,000. But personal exemptions are no longer there for larger families that were once able to take the personal exemption, which was $4,050 per person. So larger families might see an impact on that because they are getting the increased standard deduction, but they're losing all their personal deductions for themselves and their children. However, there is an offset for this, and that would be in the expansion of the child tax credit from $1,000 to $2,000. Also, this child tax credit is changing so that the refundable portion was increased to $1,400, and that amount is indexed for inflation. So it really depends on the family, and the expanded child tax credit will offset some of the things that are lost from the personal exemption.
All right. And I know another thing that the new law did was to eliminate several of the itemized deductions that many taxpayers take. What are some of the more commonly used itemized deductions that were repealed?
Well, tax preparation fees are gone. Can you believe it? And investment advisory and IRA fees, that deduction is gone as well. In addition to that, employee business expenses. So that would include things like union dues, uniform costs. Those itemized deductions are gone as well. And also another thing that's pretty common is that casualty loss deduction was repealed, except losses that are caused by natural disasters that are federally declared. Those are still allowed, but other casualty loss deductions have been repealed.
And that sounds like a lot. What are some of the popular itemized deductions that are left?
Great question. The new rules are keeping the deduction for medical expenses, the mortgage interest, and charitable contributions. So those are some very common ones that do remain. And the medical expense deduction would be increased for tax years 2017 and 2018 to allow expenses in excess of 7.5% of AGI. But this AGI threshold increases back to 10% after 2018. So we're going to see a little increase in 2017, but it goes back down again.
All right. And you mentioned that the mortgage interest deduction remains, but what changes were made to it?
So the most significant change is that the mortgage interest deduction will only be allowed on the first $750,000 of mortgage debt on new loans. So what's been eliminated is the deduction for home equity loans.
And another item that got a lot of press coverage while this bill was being debated was the changes to the state and local tax deductions. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, so that was a controversial issue before the rules were announced, and also now that we have the law and it's implemented, it still remains to be controversial. The federal deduction for state and local taxes is now limited to $10,000, and this limit includes a total of both income and property taxes.
All right. Can you also talk about the changes that were made to the alternative minimum tax, or AMT?
Yes, the AMT was not repealed. There were some versions of the bill before it was finalized where we thought it might be. In the end, it was not, but higher exemption amounts were put in place for the next few years. Originally, joint filers had an $86,200 exemption, which phased out at about $164,000. And now it's been increased to $109,400 with a phase out at $1 million for joint filers.
All right. And did anything change with estate taxes?
This is also one of the ones that we thought would be fully repealed. But in the end, the law is that the new rules preserve the estate tax, doubling the exemption from $5 million to $10 million per individual until January 1st, 2026. And this $10 million amount is indexed for inflation after 2011.
So, Amy, let me jump in and ask you another question. How long will the tax law changes be in effect?
It's really important to know, and a lot of people don't realize this, that these rules for now are only around until 2025. So all the individual provisions are scheduled to sunset after 2025. But one thing that perhaps may happen, and it's widely expected, is that these rules may be extended, or some portions of these individual provisions will be extended, similar to the way Bush tax cuts were extended.
Okay, great. And is there anything else, Amy, that you think is important that you'd like to add?
Yeah, one thing that we're really following right now on the tax advocacy team, and I know a lot of state societies are following as well, is what's going to happen with state taxation. In the weeks and months to come, states will be deciding and announcing whether they are coupling or decoupling with federal tax rules and the itemized deductions. So that's something to watch out for your own state. Just keep up with those rules and see what's happening.
Thanks, Amy. And thanks to Alistair as well. I'd also like to thank our audience for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, check out more JFA podcasts on our website and on Podomatic.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.